With the increasingly frenetic pace of life, you probably have a get-away-from-it-all fantasy. It could look like this. Let's pack a few essentials and explore the world and never quite know what the next day will bring. Few have actually lived it, though. Practical realities tend to get in the way. Sharon Reed Hendricks is an exception. She and her husband Steve spent 6 years following the wind in a 37-foot sailing sloop. It's the subject of a book called One Man's Dream, One Woman's Reality, and Sharon is with us this morning. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning, Chris.
I'm sure you hear this all the time, but you've done the thing that a lot of people dream of doing but don't manage to do, right?
Right. I do hear that all the time. I hear people say, boy, would I like to do that. And I say, you can.
Well, when you see it done in the movies, it's done sort of as spur of the moment. You know, you throw some things in a suitcase and bolt out the door. But you didn't exactly do it that way, did you?
No. It took us 5 years to prepare. Yeah.
I think that's pretty significant that you learned about sailing. You did a lot of financial planning. You really trained for it.
Right. We did our homework, yes. My husband was the sailor. I enjoyed sailing. He taught me how to sail, but I wasn't going to sell everything and move on a boat the size of a walk-in closet.
You wanted no part of it.
Right, no part of it. And did he understand? And he said, yes, he did understand. So I said, okay. And then I started to see that, you know what, maybe I could see the world, maybe I could do these things, you know, if I did this. It was a way to do it. It was my magic carpet, and it would enable us to travel.
Back when he was saying, I understand, do you think he was sort of thinking to himself, she'll come around eventually?
Oh, of course. Oh, yes.
I'm just guessing.
No, that's him. Yes, you're correct.
But you did come around and really enjoyed it.
Yes. Oh, yes, thoroughly. But there's, like life, there's positives and negatives. Hopefully the positives outweigh the negatives, and in this case it did. But it's not that it's all wonderful and dreamy and great. There's very difficult times, too.
Well, I mean, the things that come to mind is, you know, we'll starve, we'll run into stormy weather, we'll run into, you know, hostile people of one kind or another. You had a pirate encounter, is that
right?
Yes,
we did. Yes, we did, off of Columbia.
What was that like?
You need to read the book for that.
Well, give me a hint.
It was very unexpected. They approached us off of Columbia in a skiff, and I talk all about it in the book and the fear that I had and what we went through. We were lucky. We were able to get out of it, and it tells you how in the book, so that's part of the suspense and part of the lure to get people to buy the book.
But that was facing the difficulties you faced was proved to be worth it for both of you guys.
Right. The storm was real bad, too, and we talk about that from the very beginning.
Sure.
The storm that almost devastated the whole trip. And we knew that that was a possibility and could happen, but that happened early on in the on the seventh day out off of California, and it was the worst of the 6 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you got a chance to get pretty discouraged very early on.
Right, but I wasn't going to turn around and go all the way back. We were almost to San Francisco, so at that point I just wanted to get in and get off that boat.
Sure. Well, what brought you around at that point? That must have been a really critical point in the journey.
Prayer. I prayed a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I had heard from other cruisers that had done this that if you hit a storm there, that will probably be the worst of the whole trip.
Really? I mean, just from that area?
That area in California. It was worse than any of them in the Pacific. It was pretty bad. And we had, for that leg of the trip, that 8 days going down the coast from Seattle to San Francisco, we had another gentleman with us, a seasoned sailor, that I insisted go with us because I had never been offshore before.
Yeah.
And Tommy Hume had sailed all over the world, and he had been around Cape Horn. And when he said, this is as bad as anything I have ever seen in the Southern Ocean, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah, because Cape Horn is, you know, 60-foot
Right.
Waves dropping off a cliff.
We had 20-foot seas and 45 knots of wind. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Sure.
It was pretty bad.
When you got your rhythm and got going on this thing, you would just roll up to Fiji or wherever and just kind of see what there was to see, right?
Right. You're in radio contact. We both got our ham radio license, and that was a godsend to me because I'm a talker, and I could get on there and talk to all the other boats and all the other wives, and you find out where other people that are ahead of you, you know, where they are, what they're doing, what to expect. Hey, don't go to this port. It's not easy to check in. Go to this one. And so we kind of had a little bit of
there
information.
There is a fair amount of information out there.
Yes,
then.
There is. There's a real network of a community.
Yeah, because you made a reference earlier to other cruisers, and mm-hmm. I realized is there a little world of people doing this very thing?
There is a wonderful world.
No kidding.
People helping people, whether you're in a little bitty 27-foot boat or a huge mega yacht of over 100 feet, we all are in the same boat. We really are, and we all help each other. And even now, you know, years later after being back, we still keep in contact with these people. Steve and I just got back from the Seattle Boat Show where we did a seminar, uh-huh. and we were able to reconnect with other cruisers that we had cruised with. And it's just marvelous to catch up with them and find out what they're doing and where their life is going now.
Are there a lot of stories that parallel your own where couples that, you know, saved up and bought a boat and fixed it up and learned how to do it?
Yes, definitely. And people with children. They cruised,
wow.
Those kids were homeschooled, and those kids are way above the kids that are in school here. Difference.
I bet in self-reliance, I bet
yes,
they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think what I learned more than anything was about myself. I learned that I can't take isolation, that I need people.
Uh-huh.
I learned that people are wonderful everywhere. No matter what the color of their skin or what they look like, people care about families. People care about each other, and it's a wonderful world out there. It really is.
You know, it's great that is what you can conclude at the end of such a journey, because I think a lot of people might be afraid it might such a journey might lead them in an entirely different place.
Well, there were days.
Sure.
You know, it's not all wonderful and glorious, just like life.
Yeah.
You get your good days and your not so good days. And, of course, the book's written from my perspective and from Steve's perspective, which are very different.
Sure.
Steve can be in these deserted islands, you know, and go to the village and work on boats and just be happy for weeks and weeks at a time. I go bonkers. I can only do so much basket weaving and cigarette rolling. I need more mental stimulation.
It sounds like you're a good balance for one another. Thanks very much, Sharon.
You're welcome.
Sharon Reed Hendricks and her husband Steve are the authors of One Man's Dream, One Woman's Reality, an account of 6 years they spent sailing the world. You can find out more about it at hpr2.org.
When you see the Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day.